They'll make jokes about my name. They gon' try to clip my way. I'm gon' fly. They'll try to blame me like a game. I'd rather to get out the frame. I can see clear when I'm looking in the mirror saying, God, baby, just wait.
I love me. I love me.
Good afternoon and welcome to Advancing the Issues by Women Advance. We love ourselves this morning. We love ourselves this morning. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. I am Naomi Falami Randolph, and I am your host. And you are listening to Advancing the Issues, Women Advance's blog talk radio show. I am just over the moon about today's show, our topics. I think our song, Meghan Trainor's I Love Me, brought us in this morning. I could have listened to that for another few minutes, but we have only an hour for the show, so go back and check it out later in your own listening environment. But I think it's a great lead-in to our topic for today. We're going to be talking about body positivity. So if you're not familiar with Women Advance, give us the opportunity to share a little bit about our organization with you. We are a nonpartisan nonprofit. We are based in Raleigh, North Carolina, but we have the privilege and the opportunity of serving women across the state of North Carolina. Any woman who wants to advance issues in her community to create positive change, we are willing to be in support of and to help. We have an advocacy and leadership component to our work, and we also have a very vigorous communication space for our work. If you want to learn more about Women Advance, you can find us at www.womenadvancenc.org. That's www.womenadvancenc.org. And as you're tuning into the show, and if you have questions and or comments, you can call us at 929-477-3578. That's 929-477-3578. That's our call-in number, questions and or comments. So our show today is also sponsored, generously sponsored by the Annie and Isam Barr Family Fund. And we thank them so much for their continued support of the work here of our podcast of Women Advance. So our guest today, we were just doing a quick check-in before the show, and we said there's a lot of girl crushing going on right now. There's a lot of love for all the work that is happening with both of our guests today, and I'm just so pleased and honored to have both of them on the show with us this morning. So our guests today also give me great hope. As a woman who's a little older in the world and has lived through a few things, when I look at both of these women, I am encouraged by the work and the world that women are creating together. That will be a place that's affirming for everybody, not just women, but affirming for everybody. And so we're going to dive into our space today. So our first guest, both of our guests, I'm going to offer a brief introduction, and then we're going to give them the mic, so to speak. Jessamine Stanley, who is a phenomenal woman who took an interest in yoga and decided to live out her life's purpose, right, and really touch the world in a deep way. Jessamine Stanley is a yoga teacher, a body positivity advocate, and a writer based in the great city of Durham, North Carolina. Everybody loves Durham right now. There's a lot happening in Durham. And there is such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful space that she's creating around this moment of body positivity, and also the practice of yoga, right? Introducing that to audiences that perhaps have not been introduced to it before. And then she's got this great book, Everybody Yoga, that is available in lots of venues, and she'll speak more about that in just a few moments. But Jessamine, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me, Naomi. I'm happy to be here. I'm good. How are you doing?
Excellent. I am fantastic this morning. That song has me happy and kind of going. I like it. I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I love me. I love it. I love it.
It.
And
has
our
a
second
great
guest.
Message.
Yeah, it does. It does. I love it. We should all check it out a little later. Our second guest, our additional guest this morning, is Macy Adkins. Macy's a rising senior at Carson Newman College in Tennessee. Macy has also been our intern all summer here at Women Advance, and this is her last week with us. So we're a little sad about her leaving us, but she has also been a beacon of light for me this summer in lots of ways. And one of the ways in which she's been a beacon of light is her own affirmation of body positivity and the way that she lives that out in her daily life. And so when we were booking the show, I said, Macy, you have to be on the show. She's like, no. I said, yes. If you want me to sign those final intern hours, you have to be on the show. Was that right? That could have been a little wrong. But anyway. We have her on the show. We're really happy to have her on the show. And we've already got some callers waiting, so I'm excited that we are moving full force with this body of work this morning. So let's talk about this idea of body positivity. So, you know, first of all, how ridiculous is it that we have to assert body positivity, right, in the world? That has to be something that's actually movement, and we have to affirm it. But if we take a look at this last political season and just the world in general, right, the ways in which women's bodies are objectified and judged is different. And all of these things matter. Size matter, color matters, hair, all of these things that get in the way of people really living out their true creativity, really pursuing sometimes their complete destiny. It's just a really, it's unfortunate that we have to even have the conversation, but what is fortunate is that we have warriors like both of you who are taking on the movement and leading us all toward a better space. So let's talk a little bit about the history of the body positive movement. Can either of you kind of give me a sense or give our listeners a sense of where this started, who said, no, enough is enough, all great movements have a moment, a line in the sand. So for you individually, what was your line in the sand, Jessamine? And if you want to give us a broader sense of the body positive movement, that's great as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that body positivity is really, it's kind of having a moment because it's being very much accepted into the mainstream. But one of the problems with being accepted into the mainstream is that it becomes a very diluted message. And ultimately, right now, I kind of feel like where body positivity is currently is very, very far from where it began and honestly where it still exists within many communities. And I don't, as much as I know I'm seen as like a huge part of the mainstream body positivity movement, I don't really have a lot of respect for it because I don't think that it actually really conveys the original intent of the concept of body positivity. And truly, body positivity grew out of fat positivity and grew out of fat acceptance. And for that reason, many like OG body pos activists are really anti the current body positivity movement because it's so different from how things grew up. And when I first became aware of this movement, it was definitely through bloggers on LiveJournal and on Tumblr. And this was before Instagram, before models were claiming to be body positive because of their body shapes. It was very, very much fat positive, largely queer people talking about this idea of truly just accepting yourself as you are in this moment today so that you can live a happy and fulfilling life. Many people who consider themselves to be anti-body positivity believe that body positivity is like essentially promoting obesity and promoting unhealthy lifestyles. That's a really unintelligent kind of way to see the movement because it is so much more than that. It really is not just about body positivity. Is not just about body size. It's not just about hair. It's not just about skin color. It's about accepting that every single human being is sitting at the crux of many different intersections, and that those intersections need to be respected, and that in order to be productive in our day-to-day lives, in order to allow the light of the universe to shine through us, it's imperative that we accept our intersections, that we accept the confusion, that we accept the parts of us that are, you know, quirky and out of the ordinary, and because we're living in a society that really pushes assimilation. Everything is about trying to make your presentation as palatable to other human beings as possible, and as unobtrusive and as forgettable, quite frankly. And the reality is that humans are not meant to be that way. We're not meant to be pod people who all look exactly the same and act exactly the same. We're meant to be unique individuals. And the movement, as time has gone on and I've seen people become like really kind of lit on fire by it and get really, really excited, that is amazing. But what I'm noticing on a larger scale is that there are a lot of brands who are basically like, oh, wait, have we been missing out on all this fat girl money? It seems like there's a lot of fat girls who aren't buying our products.
Right.
So maybe we should, you know, maybe we should say that we're body positive. We can get someone who's like, you know, maybe like tan and they are a size 14 and look, now we're body positive. And that really, it belittles the movement. And so it really is imperative for activists. And I wouldn't even call myself an activist. I use the word advocate because I think that I do advocate for this concept and this movement in my day-to-day life, but I don't really think of myself as like trying to push this idea on other people. It's mostly that I'm trying to advocate it within my own life so that I can live my own truth. And I think that if more people kind of took that route, then we could see the true meaning of body positivity spread across the world.
I love it. I love it, Jessamine. We have actually 6 callers holding, so I want to be able to get a couple of callers online. You're listening to Advancing the Issues, Women Advances Blog Talk Radio Show. Good morning. Good morning, caller. Thank you for holding. Good morning. Good afternoon, caller. Thank you for holding. What's your question? Well, they were holding. Good afternoon. Thank you for calling Advancing the Issues. What's your question? So while our callers are getting whatever, we may be having some technical difficulty, Macy, talk to us a little bit about your line in the sand around body positivity and what was the moment you decided to embrace this for yourself?
Yeah, so I'm actually a lot more recent movement than when it originated. Like, there's a lot of, I think, not confusion, but just a lot of not knowing exactly when the movement started in and of itself. A lot of people say it started mid-90s, and like Jessamine said, it was a fat positive movement to begin with, but now we're seeing within the last few years especially a lot of people just trying to embrace body positivity as, you know, the love for your body no matter what size. And so, again, the fat community has kind of taken the back burner, especially on social media. And Jess Baker is one of my favorite body positive activists. I follow her blog and I've read her book, and she's incredible. But she recently, on July 11th, actually wrote an article on her blog, which is at themilitantbaker.com, and she coined the phrase Lisa Frank body positivity, which is, if you ever knew Lisa Frank, it's lots of glitter and puppies and flowers and colors and all of these things. And basically, like, the point of her writing that article is because she was talking about how body positivity has kind of become this movement that people have embraced, and we've kind of just lost that. Like, we embrace people who are body positive who are still mainstream attractive or what society says is the ideal, and they're a lot thinner and more accepted, and everybody praises them for being body positive, like Jessamyn said, with the models who have gone on board or these clothing companies who are trying to push smaller, quote-unquote, fat people who are a size, you know, 12 or normal, you know, normal, whatever we consider normal size, but praises them for being body positive, but we still see that backlash of fat positive, like if people who are over a size 12 or 14 decide that they want to be body positive, then they get a lot of backlash for promoting obesity or promoting unhealthiness. And so I realized that I was plus size when I was in middle school and couldn't buy from the little girls' clothing anymore. And so I realized I was different. And growing up in high school, realized that I was different, but I was never overtly picked on for my body size until I got older. And that's when last summer I had this revelation of I've spent 20 years hating myself and the way that I look and why, because people told me that I wasn't, you know, I wasn't the ideal, that I wasn't the standard. And so I decided that body positivity was a useful movement that regardless of, and I'm not promoting unhealthiness, but regardless of health status, regardless of anything, like people deserve the right to love themselves. So I've been speaking out against the not norm, I guess.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. I don't want to, like, hop in too abruptly, but I love everything that you just said, Macy, because it really points to the fact that, like, each individual has their own kind of tipping point or awakening with this, that we're still at a phase with the body positivity movement where there's not a lot of it doesn't seem as though there's as much allyship as there is activism and or advocacy. And I think that that's because there's so many people who are really championing this movement is coming from, like, our own individual struggles, our own individual realizations, and that experience is so profound and so powerful. And Jess Baker is such an excellent person to reference because she, first of all, her kind of like ripple effect has been so tremendous. I don't even think that she recognizes it, but it's all coming from her own experience of trying to own her body. And that experience is still so relevant for her. Like, we actually, so my book, Everybody Yoga, the event that I did in Tucson for it, or Phoenix or wherever, in Arizona, Jess was in, we were in conversation together and we talked about this, about how, you know, people see you as standing up for this movement and that you must have your whole thing figured out. You must always feel confident. You must always, you know, but it's really like she's still dealing with the same struggles. I'm still dealing with the same struggles. You know, like, we're all just resonating this experience that is shared by so many different people, and that truth is really what can get people to understand that body positivity is for them, that it's for every single human.
And every single human being, thank you both, every single human being individually expressing themselves and amplifying the best of themselves and the worst of themselves, right? Mm-hmm. Everything that makes us who we are. Jessamyn, you said something earlier that I want to go back to for a moment. You talked about the co-opting, right, of the movement.
Mm-hmm.
And as we look at other movements over the course of history, over the course of time, I think there's a consistent cycle that all movements go through, where outside external forces begin to see it in a way that it can be beneficial, economically perhaps, beneficial relative to public relations, for the look of something, for the perception of something. How are you both interacting with or resisting, if you will, the co-opting of the movement? What are some strategies or tactics you're using to resist the movement from being diluted?
I can start. Honestly, I just don't really acknowledge it. I find that there are a lot of brands who want to be attached to me. They want to, they see my message, they see my brand, and they're like, that's dope. Whatever it is that you're doing, we're on board with that too. And my thought is that, first of all, I never forget. I have an elephant's memory. So as a result, I remember my middle school years of never seeing anyone who even sort of looked like me on the cover of a magazine. Like, I remember seeing Monique on television and being shocked. I was like, there is a fat black woman on TV and it's just no big deal. Like, this was huge. So that to have these magazines that have been historically so discriminatory and to have these companies that have just, you know, like blindly said and done hateful things, then come to me and be like, yeah, you can be, you know, you're so great. We love what you're doing. And it's like, you don't love what I'm doing. You love the money that could be made from this. That's what you love. Right. And sort of understanding that and understanding how deeply capitalism is rooted in our society is very, very helpful. Because I'm not saying this like all brands are bad. Because no, I mean, and the thing is, representation is important. Just because I never saw someone who looked like me in a magazine that, you know, has been historically discriminatory, doesn't mean that some 12-year-old right now doesn't deserve to have the opposite experience. So to me, it's always about remembering that capitalism drives our modern society. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And that if that's how things are going to go, what do I want to do? How am I comfortable being a part of that? Where is my line in the sand? And trying to understand that, not just, you know, on the level of someone who considers themselves, you know, a body positive person, but also just as a human being, you know, where is the line? And also understanding that regardless of what's seen in the mainstream, I still have to wake up every day and love myself. And I need to focus more on that than on what's going on within the general zeitgeist. So those are kind of like my tactics.
Absolutely. I love it. Beautiful. You're listening to Advancing the Issues Blog Talk Radio Show. We're talking about the body positive movement. Our guests today are Jessamyn Stanley and Macy Atkins. If you have a question or a comment, feel free to call us at 929-477-3578. And if you're listening to us, once your call has been logged in, if you will turn your volume down, and I think that we'll be able to hear you. You've got some folk holding, so I'm going to attempt to log them in. Welcome to Advancing the Issues. What's your question or comment? So let's talk a little bit about the specific work that you do, Jessamyn, with yoga, right? So there are a few boxes that kind of would make you not the typical yoga instructor, right? There are a few boxes there. And I love it.
There are boxes?
What?
I told you.
Exactly. So let's talk about, one, why you chose yoga. Like, what spoke to you about that particular movement expression, and then also how doing yoga versus something else has kind of helped you or pushed you to continue the work that you're doing?
You know, I have to say that just as a general disclaimer, and I know that I sort of alluded to this earlier, but I really don't actively try to promote anything. Like, I know that, like, I have a book called Everybody Yoga, talking about body positivity and yoga. I'm a fat-bodied, black, queer yoga teacher. I get how it sounds like I'm pushing, yes, be body positive. Yes, practice yoga. These two things, they're going to change your life. That's really the dilution of marketing. The reality is that I just started practicing yoga because I was depressed and have anxiety, and I continue to struggle with depression and anxiety. And so as a result, I continue to practice yoga. Yes, it has had an amazing effect on my spirit. It has had an amazing effect on my strength, my comprehension, the way that I'm able to approach the world on a day-to-day basis. But that practice does not really have anything to do with, like, spreading yoga to other people or, like, making sure that, quite frankly, and I don't know if this is, I don't really care how this sounds, I don't really care if other people practice yoga. That's not important to me. Mm-hmm. I started practicing because this is what happened. I was in graduate school. I was going through a period of depression, was not the first, wasn't the last. It happens to many people. And one of my classmates was like, oh, my God, try Bikram yoga. You're going to love it. It's going to change your life. And I said, absolutely not. I'm not doing that, because I had actually tried yoga once when I was in high school, specifically Bikram yoga, which is a style of hot yoga, and I hated it. It was like one of the worst experiences of my life. And that's actually the first story that I tell in my book, Everybody Yoga, is this awful first yoga experience that I had. But she wore me down, and I went back, and I loved it. It was so challenging. I was always, like, the largest person in the room. I could not do any of the postures at all. Like, the most basic things were a struggle for me. Even just breathing in the room, breathing in a room that's 104 degrees is very difficult. And if you're a fat body person who's been taught that, like, you need to hate your body and that the only reason that you should be doing exercise is so that you can become thin, then there's this constant, even more anxiety and pressure that comes into it. But it was so freeing to me to put myself into a situation where on paper it would seem like I would not be able to do it, where it seemed like I'd be able to, like I would immediately fail. And then in that exact situation, being able to breathe and power through and to triumph, it was such an allegory for my life. Like, how many other moments in life, and this is not just for me, this is for so many human beings, how many moments in life do we stop ourselves because we say, I can't do that, I'll never be able to do that, that's not within my reach, I'm not good enough to do that, and it stops us from leaping any hurdles, from learning anything about ourselves. And being able to put myself consistently in situations where I thought, I don't know how to do this, but I'm just going to try. That feeling of just trying was completely foreign to me. And it's something that really most human beings lose as we age, this desire to just try things without obsessing over what's going to happen at the end of the tunnel. And so for me to really, like, to let myself go, it was such a liberation of not just my physical body, but of my emotional body and of my spirit. And it's something that continues to motivate me to this day, that I get on my mat not because of, wow, look at these cool poses that I can do, or wow, look how strong my body is. I get on my mat because it's my therapy, it's my church, it's my medicine, it's the thing that will always set me straight. It challenges me, it provokes me, it confuses me, it confounds me, it leads me to cry tears that are so deep within my soul that I could not even reach those tears without the practice. And it's something that is so much bigger than, like, an Instagram picture or, you know, this kind of superficial social media yoga world that has evolved over time. And I think that the work, like, so being a yoga teacher was not something that I really aspired to do. I had people, by the time I ended up going into teacher training, I had been posting photos of myself on social media for quite some time as a way to log my yoga practice. And it was very much like, this is my personal journey. Even when I look back at my Instagram account, I'm looking at a journal that I've successfully kept for the last 5 years. And so to me, it's dope. It's like, I actually kept a journal. This is amazing. But, like, to other people, it's like, wow, look at all this proof of this person can do yoga, you know? And I don't even, whatever, that's going down a whole other road. But I had people asking me all over the world to come teach them. And I was like, I don't know why I need to be a yoga teacher, because quite frankly, there are thousands of yoga teachers. Why do I need to be a yoga teacher? I would recommend other teachers. I would recommend other classes. I would be like, you don't need for me to come teach you in Stockholm and Durban and, you know, Sydney, wherever. You can learn from these sources. And it eventually got to a place where basically the universe pushed me into teacher training. And when that happened, I was still not thinking that I would teach professionally, because I was, you know, working in a restaurant. I went to culinary school, so I was interested in working in food styling, and that's still something that I'm very interested in. But I was not pushed toward living this as a as an everyday professional lifestyle. But when I was in my teacher training, and I really think of myself as very much before YTT, which is what we call yoga teacher training, and after YTT, because before YTT, I saw my practice as a very superficial piece of my existence. It's something that I do. You know, I do my yoga every day. It's my medicine that I take. This is, you know, it's something that I do. But during the training, I realized that the reason there have to be so many yoga teachers, and in truth, why literally everyone should be a yoga teacher, is because every single human being, those intersections that we talked about earlier, everyone's intersections are so valuable. And being able to share the experience of sitting at those intersections with other human beings is so crucial. And that if I can touch even one person by living my truth, and by really glorifying my intersections, then that is worth it. And so to me, that's what motivates my current work, is that I'm just going to live my light and shine my light. And if there are other people who are inspired to live that journey, then that's great, but I'm not going to focus on it.
Absolutely. Beautiful, beautiful. So for a moment, let's talk about this idea of all women's bodies, right? And the level at which all women, all people, but we're talking about women specifically this morning, all women's bodies. We have a question from our Facebook page in terms of what's the most important message either of you would want to send out to all women of all body types, given our current landscape, given the space that we exist in. What would you say to all women? Macy, let's start with you.
I think I would say that regardless of whatever your intersections are, your body is valid and you are worthy of the love that you should give yourself, even if society is pushing messages saying that you're not worthy of that love, you are, especially from yourself. And that's where, like, you cultivating your own self-love will help you interact with others and others interact with you, and you'll know what you deserve based on that. So regardless of any intersection, like, you deserve to love yourself.
Yeah. And then also I want to get a little more from you, Macy, in terms of what does that loving yourself look like? Like, when we say that, we give voice to that, but then what does that look like when we push that out into the world? What does that look like? What does that look like for you?
Yeah. So with me, it started with, I realized that I had a lot of negative self-talk. Like, I would look at myself in the mirror and I would pick myself apart. I'd look at my thighs or my stomach or my arms, and I would look and just down myself the whole entire time. I would look in the mirror and just be so unhappy because I always thought that I could look better, or that if I was thinner, then I could achieve all of these things, which has nothing to do with my body. And so it started with me stopping my self-talk. Like, I would say something negative, and I'd be like, no, you're not thinking that way anymore. And it was that simple, like, the simple affirmations that I would have when I looked in the mirror that changed, like, completely how I saw myself. And then also, I learned more about how to be kinder to my body when I also saw other people who looked like me, whether that was on social media or day-to-day, and I would look at people and I'd say, you know, they love themselves, but look how beautiful they are. Like, look at all of those great qualities that they have, you know, and society may tell me that that's not what I should look like, but they look like that, and they're beautiful, you know, and so I was like, maybe I'm beautiful, too. And so I think it was just honestly a lot of thought and representation. Like, I realized that
I'm not abnormal.
Right, right. So visibility is important, right? Visibility is important. It's important in all of the sectors. It's important for us to see ourselves reflected out in the broader community. And when we don't see ourselves reflected, whomever you are, and whatever boxes you may be checking, when you don't see yourself reflected, then there is a level of diminishing of self that begins to take hold. We see that with our babies, with the little ones, right? We see that as we age and go through public education or education systems in general. So the importance of visibility is important for all people specifically, but as we think about women and women's bodies, the importance of visibility is something that we want to continue encourage all of our listeners to embrace for themselves, right? Embrace for themselves and be really intentional about showing up for yourself, but also showing up as your authentic self. Whatever your authentic self is, we want to encourage you to do that. And I think our guests are really a beautiful reflection of that. We are halfway in. Can you all believe that? You are listening to Advancing the Issues. This is Women Advance's Blog Talk Radio Show. Women Advance is a nonpartisan nonprofit based in Raleigh, North Carolina. If you'd like to learn more about the work of Women Advance, you can find us at www.womenadvancenc.org. That's www.womenadvancenc.org. We seem to be having a little bit of technical difficulty this morning with our callers. I am so sorry about that. However, if you want to send us a message on Facebook, on our Women Advance Facebook page, you can do that, and we'll get your question on the air to our guest. Our guest today, the phenomenal Jessamine Stanley and the phenomenal Macy Adkins, both who are giving us a great deal of education and encouragement and enlightenment around body positivity. So let's talk for a second, going back to intersectionality, around the importance of how this movement may intersect with other movements, the core of the movement, the authentic movement, not so much the corporate body pos movement, but the authentic piece of that. Where do either one of you see intersections with women's rights, with civil rights, with LGBTQ rights, with worker rights? Where do you see points of intersection?
I mean, I think that there's a natural point of intersection with really any movement that lifts up a marginalized people and any movement that is truly just asking for equality. Like all of the movements that we've just talked about, civil rights, feminism, all of these different things are just about equality. And the only way to really get to a space of equality is to also get to a space of authenticity and being genuine. And that's something that really, once you get down to the brass tacks of all movements, it just comes down to people acting as authentic as possible and being as true to themselves as possible. And I do think that as movements grow, that authenticity is usually the first thing that's lost, because there's sort of this tendency to lean toward wanting everyone to get on the exact same page. And in order to do that, you can't value everyone's authenticity because you're just seeking one mold. And really, that is the if we can focus on the authenticity and allow every voice to shine, then we see that because of the differences, we really have more in common than we think we do. And I think that if we that there are a lot of movements that struggle because they are too focused on trying to find one singular mission, one singular mold. But if we can get to a space where everyone is valid, every experience is valid, then that will that leads to more power in the future.
Right. Macy, what about you?
I totally agree. I think there is a definite intersection with feminism, because I think as the body positive movement has progressed and as our political climate has gotten more intense, that the body has become more politicized. Mm. And so in the feminist movement, body autonomy is a very big issue. Like, we fight as women
for the ride over our own body and for us to be the ones who decide what we do with our body. Mm-hmm. And I think body positivity is a way, like we have a president who insults women's bodies, like, constantly or at least often.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that because of that, like, if body positivity wasn't necessary before, which it was, but if people didn't think that, then now there's even more of a reason mm-hmm. for it to be necessary.
Absolutely, absolutely. And mm-hmm. the opportunity to intersect with and support any other movement, women's rights, civil rights, workers' rights, with this idea of bringing into the space, again, your full self, your authentic self, and having that be accepted. Because when we do that in the mm-hmm. workers' rights movement, we don't have as many issues around hiring practices that are unjust, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we do that in the women's rights movement, we don't have as much marginalization of women who may not agree completely with everything that's being offered relative to the standards of feminism, right? If we do that
mm-hmm.
in civil rights, again, all of this is where we want to make sure that we're giving people the opportunity to show up as their authentic self, and that that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay to do, and that's acceptable. That's something we want to encourage. So I want to talk a little bit about the book, Everybody Yoga. What's the response been to the book, Jessamyn? What have you experienced out in the world with the book?
I mean, the book response has been overwhelmingly positive and really overwhelming just emotionally for me, because I don't spend a lot of time, honestly, just as a part of my own yoga practice, I try not to spend a lot of time focusing on the thoughts or opinions of other people. And so I live a fairly insulated life in which I interact with the same people. I spend a lot of time practicing yoga, reading about it. I spend a lot of time just, you know, in meditation and just trying to see within myself. And because of the book, I've been forced out of that little self-made bubble. And the book was really written as a response to all the people who have asked me over the years, countless times, how do I start practicing yoga? What's the first step? Well, how did you start practicing yoga? And so to me, it was just like, I just got to get this out and answer these questions so I don't ever have to answer these questions again, because I don't have time to answer the bajillion emails that I've received about this topic. And to me, it was like, oh, okay, great. So I finished writing the book. It's out there. Dope. If you want to read it, you can read it. That's great. But to have so many people just be like, this is my life. Thank you so much for writing this, because I've never seen a reflection of myself before. To have so many people who, not just like novice or non-yoga practitioners, but to have so many people who have been practicing yoga for decades, I've never had anybody actually, never read anyone talk about what it's really like to live this practice, the real reasons that we start practicing. It's been a very overwhelming experience for me, and especially going on tour and going to so many different places around the country where on paper, it seems like people should be different from one another. But what I've realized is that every human being is exactly the same, and that we all have the same struggles, regardless of gender expression, regardless of skin color, regardless of location, regardless of ability, no matter age, all these things are irrelevant, because every human being is just so hungry and thirsty for self-love and for self-acceptance that the message of the book really just seems to transcend all boundaries. And so it's been a really, really powerful experience for me.
Absolutely. And what's the opportunity then, you know, because when one door is open, generally there are other opportunities that present themselves to us via that door. So we may think we're going into a situation for one reason. However, we realize in the midst of that that there are some lessons and some opportunities for us that we were not anticipating. And so have there
mm-hmm.
been lessons for you, right? Lessons for you specifically that you weren't
mm-hmm.
anticipating learning gone through the world with the book?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think that there was no way to really anticipate just how much this experience would both teach me and also just sort of provoke in me. And it was, I mean, so much of it is will be within the follow-up to Everybody Yoga, so I don't want to go into it too much, but I definitely realized that there is so, the modern yoga world is so problematic. There are so many people who think that yoga is not for them specifically because of the way that it's portrayed in the media. There are so many people who feel like they don't have enough money to practice yoga, who feel like they're not good enough to practice yoga. It is a problem across the entire West. It is not just like, not even just in America. And so to me, that really boils down to a lot of different reasons. There are so many, and it's strange because even coming up within this modern yoga world, I still feel like I've been fairly, you know, because of this like small insulated world, I keep myself kind of separate from this giant, I call it the yoga industrial complex, it's this monster that's like, that people think that having a strong yoga practice means that you practice handstands on the beach every day and drink kombucha and that you have enough money to go on retreat to, you know, to the Virgin Islands and that no one questions the rampant appropriation of South Asian culture. Nobody questioned the gentrification of the practice. Nobody questions the imperialism that allows us to go to other countries and just like have yoga retreats and to feed off the resources of other spaces. And it's the experience of working within the modern yoga world, and then especially with a very kind of prominent book within that yoga world, has shone a very bright light on many aspects of the community that are highly problematic and are almost completely ignored on a larger scale. And it's definitely helped clarify my mission moving forward.
I think there's an opportunity to do a whole show about cultural appropriation at another time, but I think
there's
room there, right? There's room there for lengthy discussion for a number of things that we are experiencing right now in the 21st century. So for both of you, let's talk a little bit about, as we're nearing almost the end of the show, which is all, it always goes so quickly. I'm always like, it's almost over. Wait, I have more that I want to know from all of our guests. Let's talk a little bit about how you create balance in your own life. So, Macy, you're a rising senior. You're a woman in your 20s. You are asserting feminism as a way of life. That's a lens through which you are living your life, not just seeing the world, but the way in which you're living your life. You are approaching wonderful things in your life that I won't disclose on air, but I happen to know about, right? So how are you finding balance? Because that's a part of the work that Jessamine is helping us to understand in a deeper way today. But I think it's an important part for all people and women specifically to pay attention to in their lives. How are you finding balance? What tools are you using to create more balance in your life? Not having it all, because I think that's an illusion, but balance, right? How are you doing?
So I recently, since I've been in college, have been introduced to self-care, and I think that that's a topic that we put on the back burner, especially as women, when we're taught that we have a lot of other people to please other than ourselves. So self-care has literally transformed the way that I've viewed myself and been one of the biggest acts of self-love that I've performed since I've been in college, because there's so many different things that are thrown, and I'm involved in organizations, and I work jobs, and I'm trying to maintain relationships and do well in school and thinking about the next steps, which are grad school and getting married in the future and all of those things. And so I realized that if I don't take care of myself first, then how am I going to help other people? And if I'm crumbling and can't achieve any of the things that I want to achieve, then how am I supposed to reach out and fight for, like, against inequality or fight for the issues that I that I am passionate about, and I can't do that if I'm crumbling myself.
Yeah.
So self-care looks a whole lot different for different people, but I personally enjoy meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation helps a lot. It's like taking a nap in the daytime but being awake.
Mm-hmm. So, that's a great
even like simply taking a nap,
mm-hmm.
like when I am exhausted, like naps do wonders, or leisure reading, like doing things that I enjoy,
right.
purposefully taking and carving out time out of my week to do things I enjoy so that I don't burn out at the end.
I love it. Excellent. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Jessamine, what about you? How do you find balance? So your life, you know, there have been some transitions for you in the last year and a half. There's some things coming up that are moving you out of your own comfort zone. How do you create balance for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I've been traveling, like, pretty much constantly for the last 2 years, and it's been a very intense experience, especially because I do so much work with social media and constantly being turned on and plugged in and responsive and engaged, and all of these things I think are actually horrible for the human psyche, and I think are not really what human beings are supposed to do. Humans are meant to be, you know, running and hunting and gathering and out in the wild, and so my way of finding balance is to just try to do that as much as possible, to manually, and this is infuriating for people who, you know, try to communicate with me, who want me to, you know, respond to every email quickly, who want for me to respond to every message on the internet, who want for me to respond to comments on things. As a hard rule, I do not respond to comments on social media. I wish that I could, but there is no way energetically that I could do that and also show up for my partner and my family and my friends. There's no way that could happen. So to me, it's all about turning off, ignoring, trying to come back to what my actual humanity as much as possible. You know, I mean, in addition to yoga and meditation, I take a lot of bubble baths. I go hiking. I go swim in natural sources of water, especially. That's a huge part of why I love living in North Carolina, because it's a very, you know, it's still a less industrialized state. So it's nice to be able to, you know, easily get to natural water sources and to the hills and to the mountains and to just take my shoes off and stand in the grass, to actually connect with the earth, because the earth is what we're made of. And when we spend all of our time in boxes, and especially, you know, holding a computer screen or typing on a keyboard, these are not actions that humans are meant to do, and they lead to long-term damage. And to me, it's just about preserving my humanity in every way possible.
Beautiful, beautiful. So one of the things, one of my experiences in an earlier portion of my life, when I decided that this work for progressive social change was what I was going to commit my being to, people would say, "So how are you doing, or what are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I'm still in the struggle, right?" And so finally, one brother said, "So sister, what's the struggle?" I was like, "You know, the struggle, right?" There was a way in which I was holding the work that was having very deep impact on my psyche, on my spirit, and on my physical body. And so that moment of having to articulate literally what the struggle was, and really understanding that the way even in which I spoke about the work that I loved was doing harm, right, to myself, to my person, to my
mm-hmm.
spirit. Macy's fear, and your point as well, you know, if we are suffering or crumbling, the movement is also suffering and crumbling. And so for our listeners who are in the middle of doing 20 million other things, perhaps while they're listening to this podcast, I want us all to remember that if we are not taking care of ourselves, if we don't have a positive perception about self, then the work that we feel very passionate about is going to suffer. So if we want the movements that we are a part of to succeed, then we also have to take really good care of ourselves in various ways to ensure that we are creating a legacy of success for ourselves in any of the movements that we choose to participate in this work. So our two closing questions, we always close with these two questions, so I want to ask both of you two things. One, I want to know what you love about the state of North Carolina. We're based in North Carolina, and I love this state. I say it anytime I have the opportunity to speak to people. There are things that I want to change in our state, but I love this state. And so what do you love about the state of North Carolina? Macy, I know that you're a visitor for this year, for this summer, but I want to know what you love. And then the second question is, what do you want your legacy to be, even if it's a short-term legacy or a longer-term legacy? What would you like your legacy to be? Macy, let's start with you. What do you love about this state that you've been visiting for the last 6 weeks?
Well, first off, the state's beautiful. You guys just, I'm from the mountains, and there's some mountains around. You have to drive to them, but it's very refreshing and nice to see how beautiful another place other than Tennessee is. Because we have the Smokies. So.
Yeah, we have the Smokies, too.
But I also love the opportunity for change that is here, that is cultivated here. There, over the course of the past 6 to 8 weeks that I've been here,
right,
I've seen more earth shakers than I have in a really long time. And to know that there are states and areas that have those earth shakers who are constantly doing that work so that we can come along beside of you guys and continue that work, it's just really encouraging.
Oh, excellent. Thank you, Macy. Jasmine, what do you love about the state of North Carolina?
Well, I grew up in North Carolina, and I resented this state for a very long time. When I was young, I was obsessed with moving to a big city and getting out of the state. It was my single-minded goal. And I think it has a lot to do with age, honestly. And then on top of that, it has to do with traveling so much. Going to so many different places around the world has made me recognize just how magnificent this state is, and it's highly problematic everywhere. It's highly problematic everywhere. Like every city, every state, every country, there's problems everywhere. And North Carolina is full of so many beautiful natural spaces, that it's full of so many incredible human beings who are even at the most racist, the most bigoted people are usually still the most creative, open-hearted people. And it's hard because we live in this space of wanting everyone to think the way that we do. But when you accept that we just don't all think the same way, we don't and we can't. So if we can get to that space, then it's amazing to be in a state where everyone can just kind of do their thing. And it's imperative that people who recognize the problems of this state stay here so that we can start to work out some of the problems of the state, and so that we can start to have better dialogue that can lead to better social policy, which can then lead to better legislation, and we can have a longer lasting change overall. But the reasons to stay and the reasons to be lit on fire about this state are so plentiful. I mean, even just walking through Durham, even just finding yourself lost in the foothills, even just driving down to the coast, there's so many visual and emotional reasons to love everything about North Carolina. And was the other question about legacy?
What do you want your legacy to be? I think that in addition to vision, as we move through the state and do work with women, one of the questions we ask them, what's your vision for your community? So one, folks have to have vision in order to be able to advance change. But also then, what do you want your legacy to be? After it's all said and done, what do you want your legacy to be? What do you want your impact to have been as an individual in the state, in the country, on the movements?
I actually don't really think about legacy that much, only because I just want to be as present as possible. And I'm not really concerned with being remembered, because I think that all humans are eventually forgotten. But I do think that if anyone was going to remember anything about me, I hope that they would just say, you know, she was a nice person. She was not judgmental. She was just like down to, she brought positive energy, and she was just, you know, like I felt, because when I think back on people who have passed on and moved on and who had such a profound effect on me, that's really all I remember about them. It's like, you're a really great person. Like, you're just a really nice person. And if anyone could ever say that about me, I would be, I guess that's plenty for me.
Yeah, there's a Maya Angelou quote, Dr. Maya Angelou quote that says, people may forget what you say to them, but they never forget how you made them feel.
Absolutely.
So that, yeah, your legacy, I think, exemplifies that. Macy, what do you want your legacy to be, dear, as you think about the long life you have in front of you? What do you want your legacy to be?
I'm kind of with Jessamine. I just hope that people remember that I was a kind person and that I fought against injustice, mm-hmm. like, that I tried to make mm-hmm. a difference, that I may have just been a ripple in the tide, but that I was still a ripple, and that I tried as hard as I could to treat people equally and not just fight for the issues, that I actually lived up it, like what I was fighting against
yeah,
as well.
Yeah. So if there's one piece of one first step that you all could give to somebody who's listening to our show or someone who will be listening to it in the archives, in terms of taking the first step toward embracing their authentic selves, what would that first step be? That first thing you would suggest that they do?
I would suggest ignoring every single person who doesn't want you to live your most authentic self. Ignore everyone. Just listen to yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't pay attention to anyone else.
Mm-hmm. Trust your intuition, as my grandmother would say, right? Listen to your
mm-hmm.
your better head.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Macy,
exactly. What about
you? I would say talk to yourself like you would talk to the person you love the most.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful, mm-hmm. beautiful, beautiful. What an extraordinary show we have had today. I am absolutely privileged to have been in conversation and community with both of you today. I wish that we had more time because I could. There's so many tributaries from the information that both of you all have offered that we could kind of take a journey down any number of rivers today together. Unfortunately, the time will not allow us to do that. Will not allow us to do that. Jessamine, Macy, thank you so much for joining us, for being in community with us at Women Advance today. And I also want to thank you for the way in which you're both showing up in the world and all that that means to each individual that encounters you, right? So not just this en masse way in which people can see you all as beautiful, vibrant, strong, determined, intelligent beings, but those daily interactions that I know both of you all are having that are life-changing for people. And so I thank you both for that. I thank you. Thank you both for that.
Thank you
so much. Yes, yes, yes. So you have been listening to Advancing the Issues. That's Women Advance's blog talk radio show. Women Advance is a nonpartisan nonprofit based in Raleigh, North Carolina. Our website is www.womenadvancenc.org. Our show has been sponsored by the Annie and Isam Barr Family Fund. If you want to engage in some of the work that we're doing at Women Advance, please send me an email at naomi@womenadvancenc.org. It's naomi@womenadvancenc.org. I will absolutely respond to your email. Maybe not today, but I will respond to your email. And if you have enjoyed our topic today and you want to learn more about our topic, we want you to join us on November 4th at Bennett College in Greensboro, North Carolina. And we will be convening our fourth North Carolina Women's Summit. And it is going to be a glorious, glorious, incredible, extraordinary time where women from across the state of North Carolina will convene to dig into the things that will make us stronger. Our theme for this year's summit is thriving through change. And so we have consistently been in this space of resistance. And so now we're ready to create a space in which we're all going to be thriving and thriving through the various changes that are happening in our state and also in the women's movement. Self-care will be one of the workshops that we offer during the summit. And so we want you to join us November 4th, 2017, at Bennett College for Women for the North Carolina Women's Summit, Thriving Through Change. It's time for us to say goodbye. We so appreciate you spending some of your lunch hour with us. We apologize again for the technical difficulties, but, you know, that's the world that we live in. That's the world that we live in. But if you have additional questions and want to send them to us, if you have ideas about shows that you would like to listen to, we'd be happy to hear those things from you. Thank you so much. I'm your host, Naomi Falami Randolph. We appreciate you advancing the issues so we all can advance the change. Taking us out today is going to be Secrets by Mary Lambert, a Macy's recommendation. You all have a great day. Take care.
Not in order. I'm overweight. I'm always late. I've got too many things to say. I rock mom jeans, cat earrings, extrapolate my feelings. My family is dysfunctional, but we have a good time killing each other. The clothes from the time we're young to hide the things that we don't like about ourselves, inside ourselves. I know I'm not the only one. We spent so long attempting to be someone else. Well, I'm over it.
I don't care. The world knows what my secrets are. Secrets are. I don't care. The world knows what my secrets are. Secrets are.
Sometimes I cry a whole day. I care a lot, use an analog clock and never know when to stop. And I'm passive, aggressive.